Welcome to the Teachers on Fire podcast, where I profile agents of growth and transformation in education today. Each guest shares their highs, their lows, their passions, their goals, and the resources that are shaping their thinking and inspiring their practice. For show notes and links from each episode, visit teachersonfire.net. You can also follow the show at Teachers on Fire on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And of course, please subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Tim Cavey. Let's meet today's guest. Today, I'm speaking with Mike Paul. Mike is a math teacher, EdTech leader, Google certified innovator, and the co-founder of EdCamp Kentucky. Follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Paul and check out his blog at pikemalltech.com. Bit of a pun there. Mike, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Are you ready to talk education?
I am. Let's go.
Let's do it, man. So let's, first of all, start by filling in any gaps I left about your current context in education.
I am currently teaching Bardstown, Kentucky, which is, for those of you who aren't aware, the bourbon capital of the world, also voted the most beautiful small town in America a couple of years ago. I teach at Bardstown Middle School. Seventh grade mathematics this year. I'm also the instructional technology coordinator for the school district. So I get to work with a lot of teachers at every grade level, integrating technology in their classroom. Bardstown has a very, very diverse community of learners from all different walks of life, very different socioeconomic backgrounds, and just about every kind of family environment you can think of. So we have a lot of fun with our students, but we have quite the mix that come into our school every day. So it's a good school. I love being there.
Awesome. Okay, so you're still in the classroom, which is cool, and you've got this responsibility of technology coordinator, or I think I'm getting your official title wrong, but Mike, share with us, first of all, about a low moment that you faced somewhere in your teaching or education career, and then most importantly, how did you overcome it?
Well, one low point came fairly early on. It was during my first year of teaching, and I got an email from a principal from another school. My principal is fantastic, and he's now my superintendent, so he's awesome. But I got an email from another principal, and the content of the email and the conversation just kind of showed me that some people are in education purely for their own benefit and what's comfortable for them, and that sometimes we still have a long way to go before we have all the right people in the right places to make the difference we need to make for kids. And I still battle with that every day, but I try hard to make that difference for kids and to show others that sometimes we have to do things that are uncomfortable for us as educators to do what's best for our students.
Mike, can you tell us, now you may not be able to, and that's completely fine, but can you give us any more information? I'm intrigued. I want to know what was in that email.
It was a discussion about, we were trying to get together with a group of math teachers from a different district to see what they were doing for intervention with their students. And it kind of took a bad turn somewhere along the line because the district was it felt like they only wanted to show off for certain people what they were doing, but they really didn't want everybody to know what they were doing because I think there was some competition there that they felt like, well, if they know what we're doing, then maybe they'll be quote unquote better than us. And, when we're doing it for the kids, it's not about the competition. It's about doing what's best for kids. And, it got out of hand real quickly.
That is really unfortunate. Thank you, Mike, for sharing those extra details. That makes a lot of sense. And I think that creeps into different parts of education. We don't like to talk about it much, but thank you for putting your finger on it. I think sometimes the selfish motives or the ego or the image starts to take over and we don't want to share the learning. And that is a really sad outcome when that happens. And you're right, the learners are the ones who suffer. So I appreciate that is not in your genes. I can tell from what you're putting out there. Mike, as both an ed tech guy and a math teacher, how do you see those two areas intersecting today? How is ed tech changing the way we teach and learn about math?
Well, it's changed everything about how we teach about math, because math teachers, we have to rethink how we're teaching. We have so many tools available that do the mathematical computations and calculations that used to be the foundation for most math classes, especially in elementary school and middle school. We have so many tools, whether it's the calculator that's on our student smartphone that they have with them all the time, or different apps or tools online that can do these calculations that students have very often struggled with. And now they really don't see a need to learn how to do this stuff because, hey, yes, I really do always have a calculator with me all the time, Mr. Paul, even though you try to tell me that I won't, I really do have one with me all the time. So we have to change our conversation about math and how we're teaching it, and engage in rich discussions with our students about the heartbeat of mathematics and why things work the way that they do, and why it's important that we, yes, the calculations are important, but more important are the problem-solving techniques that we cover in mathematics, and how to break problems up into smaller pieces and then come up with a result at the end, and how to be precise and accurate with our work and make sure we're doing the right work to solve whatever the problem may be, whether it's a math problem or it's something in the quote-unquote real world outside of the math classroom.
The theory and the habits and the habits of mind even will never grow old, right?
Absolutely.
If I can share one fun activity, Mike, that I tried last week I've got an eighth grade math class, and we pulled out our smartphones and we were learning about the Pythagorean, however you want to say it, the theorem there. And I thought, instead of working from the textbook, let's pull out our smartphones. And I knew a lot of the kids had iPhones. And do you ever use that Measure app?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I sent them around the building just measuring objects and spaces. And that app is amazing. I mean, I haven't actually, checked to determine exactly how accurate it is. I'm assuming it's pretty accurate, but you can measure door frames, desks, tables, bulletin boards, all very, very quickly. And I started thinking, it's not going to be long before someone adds a feature that just calculates that hypotenuse right across.
Absolutely.
Right across the rectangle. That's coming.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think that just speaks to what you talked about, that the tools and the technology will only keep improving, but our students will always need to know the theory and the practices behind the mathematics. So,
absolutely.
Cool stuff. Now, Mike, outside of technology or mathematics, I guess you don't need to go outside of your wheelhouse, but what else besides what you've already talked about excites you about education today?
What excites me are these little pockets of innovation that you are starting to see show up in a lot of places, where schools are trying their best to make education about more than just a test score, and where they're starting to involve students in real-world applications of their learning. I'm a big fan of design thinking. That was one of the things we talked about at the Google Innovator Academy, and how we can use that in education to tackle big problems and come up with solutions. And when students can get involved in something like that, where they get to be a part of solving a real problem, whether it be something in their school building or in their community, then the learning becomes that much more real to them. And they see that there is application outside of, I just need to know this to get a good score on a state mandated test at the end of the year, but that they can pick up skills that they can use throughout life outside of the walls of the school. And it may actually benefit someone other than themselves or their teacher in the classroom.
I love it. And I think, again, we're at sort of the pure spirit of math, right? Is that problem-solving, improvisational kind of skill. And I love that you brought up the design process. We've got AJ Giuliani coming up in a few episodes. And he, as you know, is one of I almost said the godfathers, but he's one of the big voices out there today. Of course, he wrote Launch with John Spencer, and I'm trying to bring more of the design process into my classroom as well. Mike, how are you looking to grow professionally and improve your practice this year? Can you share with us about a specific professional goal or maybe an area that you're working on?
Well, you know, at the beginning of the year, I was watching Twitter and this hashtag one word kept coming up where people would pick their one word for the year. And I picked mine as serve. I'm at the point in my career where I really, really want to help other teachers make a difference in their classroom. And I haven't done enough serving in the past. And some people may say, but Mike, you do all these things. And well, I haven't done enough yet. So my goal this year is to serve as many other teachers as I can, whether it's through implementing technology in their classrooms to really impact students, or just to think about education differently and how we can make it something more meaningful for students, and just help as many people as I can over the next year. And I know that as I help other people get what they want, that I will get more of what I want in the process and become a better educator, a better dad, a better husband, all those things wrapped up in just serving others. So that's my goal for this year.
I love your one word, Mike, and I think that's an admirable goal. Now, if I can push you a little bit on just exactly what that looks like, will it take the place of more screencasts there for your school or your community? Or will it look like more workshops or more one-on-one tutoring? How do you see that unfolding in the education space?
It will be more screencasts, more videos, maybe even a podcast, possibly.
Cool.
I've been toying with that idea for a while. It will be more, definitely more workshops and training with teachers in my school district and possibly others. But that'll be the core of it. Is just reaching out more to the education community as a whole, both, you know, locally and basically whoever will listen. I've also thought about the idea of creating some courses online for teachers to work through different technology resources that they can use in their classroom and make those available as well.
Very fun. Well, on the podcast note, I have to recommend the platform that I use, Anchor. And for any other educators thinking of starting your own podcast, I have to say Anchor is phenomenal. It distributes Teachers on Fire onto, I think, at least a dozen different platforms, including iTunes and Google Podcasts, and it's absolutely free. So, Mike, get in touch with me if that podcast does launch, and I'll make sure to support it and promote it. And, of course, listen as well, and we'll come back to podcasts in a few minutes. But first, Mike, I love to ask this question because I want to hear, outside of the school, what is making you human? What's another area of learning for you? What is it that ignites your passions when you leave the school?
I am a big fan of personal development, whether that's, you know, in improving my mental state or my physical state, because I am getting a little older, so I've got to get in better shape. And I'm also always intrigued by anything to do with marketing, especially related to marketing online. I come from a long line of entrepreneurs. My grandfather started a natural gas company back in the 70s. And so I'm always intrigued with business and, you know, helping leverage the tools that are available to us for personal development and marketing, business, and how people can use them to reach their goals, the technology that's available now that so many people just don't know is out there or don't know how to use it or don't know how to leverage them fully for themselves, for their schools, for educators, or for their business, or for their communities, their churches, whatever it may be. There's so much out there right now for people to take advantage of and can help them be better. But at the same time, as they're getting better, to help other people be better as well.
That is music to my ears, Mike, and we have to pause here and geek out, okay? So, first of all, before I drop some names your way, I think you're absolutely right that, you know, there is a strong congruence between the education space and this whole personal development and online content creation and marketing activity as well, because, you know, it's leveraging technology to create content and to share services, right? And these are all, aren't these the things that we want our students to be learning and doing instead of just being pure consumers themselves? So
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to sort of, I have to stop and ask myself, am I going too far with this by encouraging my students to make their own podcast and their own YouTube channel and their own blog and this and that? But honestly, I think this is the 21st century. This is how you share knowledge and you create content of value for others. So, okay, I'm going to drop a few names. You tell me if you're a big fan of any of these guys. Gary V, John Lee Dumas, Pat Flynn, Chris Ducker. Do any of those?
Yes. I've been following Pat Flynn since he was, I think, since his very first podcast episode, over 10 years ago. So, yeah.
And hasn't it been fun to watch Pat sort of open up his YouTube channel and be vulnerable there and sort of grow in front of our eyes?
Absolutely. Pat is quite the inspiration.
Okay, we have to move on. But Mike, there's some brotherhood there. I love it, man. Share about a personal habit or a productivity hack that contributes to your success, Mike.
My hack is my Miracle Morning Savers. I read a book by a guy named Hal Elrod last year called The Miracle Morning, oddly enough. And there's six parts to this morning routine, and it makes an acronym called SAVERS. First one is silence or meditation. Then A is affirmation. So you're doing positive affirmations first thing in the morning. V is for visualization, as you visualize those dreams and visions that you are working to achieve. E is exercise, which, again, as you get older, is increasingly important. R is for reading, and S is for scribing or journaling. So those six things, that's how I start my day. In order to get those things done, I had to become a very early riser. So my alarm goes off every morning at 4 a.m., and I do those six things. Do I do them every day? When I don't, I know it. I can feel the difference when I don't do those things. So they've become pretty important to me to set up a successful day and to be able to get things accomplished that I want to get done for the day.
Mike, this is why I do this show, just to learn gems like this one. I've become a bit of a morning person, but this is like a golden formula. I absolutely love it, and it makes me want to get into this Hal Elrod guy. I'm not familiar with him, but thank you for...
Oh yeah.
Thank you for sharing SAVERS. I'll make sure to post that on teachersonfire.net. So if you are checking the show notes on this one, I'll have that information there for you. So thank you so much for sharing. And now, Mike, we're moving into your quick picks. So here we're interested in listening to the voices and resources that are shaping your practice and inspiring your thinking today. Let's start at Twitter. Tell us about someone we should follow there and share why they've been inspiring you lately.
Don Wetrick, if you're familiar with Don's work, he is at Don Wetrick on Twitter with his Start Ed Up podcast and his new foundation that he's begun. I've been Twitter stalking Don for a long time, and he's doing some pretty amazing things with his students. And he's doing some great things right now. Very inspiring. Very cool.
Yeah, he does not beat around the bush, or that's such an old expression. But Don does not limit himself on the entrepreneurship side of things. He is 100% there. And man, what his students are putting together and creating and publishing in the world is pretty exciting. So awesome, awesome guy to follow. Point us to an ed tech tool, Mike. And I always love asking ed tech experts this question. Is there a tool that has been really doing great things in your own practice or in other classrooms lately?
Pear Deck, which is a wonderful tool for student engagement. And it's really, really easy to use now because it just integrates with Google Slides. And it gets students involved, giving them opportunities to respond in class, whether or not they ever say a word in your classroom or ever raise their hand. Because we all have those students that just will never, ever speak up in class. But using a tool like Pear Deck gives them the opportunity to do that and gets everybody involved in conversations, whether they're talking or not.
Recommend a book, one that you've been reading lately, or maybe one of your all-time faves, and tell us why you recommend it.
I'm going to do two books. I hope that's permissible.
Do it.
The first one is called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. He's also the guy who wrote The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Okay.
But the War of Art is all about how creatives, which I think every teacher is or should be, have this ongoing battle to get the work done that we need to do, but how that doing the work is a battle worth fighting, and why we need to just get over ourselves and do it. The second book is The 10X Rule by Grant Cardone. And Grant may be a little rough around the edges for some folks, but he definitely can get you motivated to see what your potential is and what it will really take to achieve those dreams and goals. And the 10X rule kind of is his manifesto for laying that out. That book, almost more than any other book, I can say that book changed my life.
Wow. Okay. High praise. Are you a podcast listener? I hope so. If so, recommend a podcast that you are enjoying that we need to consider adding to our commute.
I am definitely a listener and actually had my own podcast many, many years ago during the early days of podcasting. Currently, one of my favorite shows is the Ed Milette Show. Ed is a motivational speaker and a businessman who is very successful, and he has lots of other very successful people on his show to talk about what they have done to get to their level of success in whatever area that they may be in. Just a great, great show and very, very inspiring.
Ed Milette. Okay, we'll check him out. Tell us about a YouTube channel that you enjoy, and this one might be valuable for you in your professional practice or maybe just personally amusing.
One that I've started watching more regularly is The Passionate Few by Omar Elatar, and another show where Omar interviews high performers and gets their take on, you know, how they got to where they are. And he is an excellent interviewer and asks the right kind of questions to get his interviewees to really think about responses and provide some incredible value.
The last question, Mike, is purely for fun, nothing education here, but what are you watching on Netflix right now?
The Office. Always. The Office. It's the only reason I keep my Netflix subscription. I pay my monthly Netflix subscription, so I don't have to buy the box set of The Office.
I am right there with you. And, you know, we find as a family, we've got two middle school boys here, and it's one of the few shows that we can all agree on. And it's guaranteed to deliver a few good belly laughs at the end of a long day. So I'm going to say two thumbs up on The Office. Mike, this has been a lot of fun. What are the best ways for the listeners to follow you and maybe, just maybe, receive even more content than you've been putting out lately?
They can always follow me on Twitter at Mike Paul. My EdTech website is pikemaltech.com, as we mentioned earlier. I am, as of 2 weeks ago, the official owner of mikepaul.com. And nice. There will be some content. Yeah, I've been trying to get that one for 15 years. That's a bucket list item that got checked off. I'll have more content there. You can find me on Instagram at I am Mike Paul, or you can go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/Mike Paul page. And my YouTube channel, if you search for Mike Paul Jr., you can find me on YouTube.
Okay, well, that sounds like some branding that Grant Cardone would be proud of. Mike, it's so good to connect with you, and always enjoy speaking to people who are thinking deeply and reflectively about how technology integrates with learning and how to leverage it in ways that really help students. So keep creating that content, keep creating more content. Look forward to the podcast or the whatever else is coming out from Mike Paul, and let's stay in touch. Take care, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks so much for joining me here today on the Teachers on Fire podcast. For show notes and links from this episode, visit teachersonfire.net. You can also follow the show at Teachers on Fire on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Medium. And again, please do subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm your host, Tim Cavey, saying goodbye for now, and we'll catch you next time right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast.